We want to talk to you about pregnant expectation. No, I've never been pregnant. Just saying. I know what it is to be pregnant in the spirit, but there are similarities, but there are a lot of things that are not the same. And we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 8 and dealing with verses 1 to 30. And we are looking at the translation that we're using is the Message Bible. Usually I use the NLT, but for this morning I thought that it would be best that we use the Message Bible. And I know it may be a little bit different from your reading, but at least you will be able to see them on the screen. You can compare it with your Bible, and we'll see where we go from there. Praise God. Are you excited to hear the word of the Lord this morning? Praise God. Each time it's a little different, and I'm not the kind of guy, I don't necessarily like things exactly the same, but the anointing of God is still here. Glory to God. Whether I wear black pants, blue pants, jeans, tie, no tie, praise God. And if you are comfortable with wearing a tie, glory to God. And if you feel comfortable without a tie, glory to God. But I hope that as we read through this scripture in a different translation, that you will be blessed by it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to minister in this place, in this space, for this time period, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that your word is forever settled in heaven. Your word is anointed. You guard over your word to perform it and make it good. I thank you, Lord, for the scripture that we will read today. Bless it, Lord. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. How many know that Jesus' coming was not just to deal with sin? If we live with that concept that he only came to deal with sin, we will miss the other blessings that come with the fact that Jesus came. Because Jesus came actually to restore a relationship. Hallelujah. The Father wanted a relationship with us. Hallelujah. His coming was not just to deal with sin. His coming was to deal with a relationship. And in order to deal with that relationship, he had to deal with sin. And if we don't understand this, we're going to miss the word and the blessing that comes from the first part of Romans. We really will miss the understanding of the rest of the chapter. If we only see the law, we will only be legalistic in outlook. You see, we'll be legalistic in our living. We will be judgmental with those that are around us because we're using the law to judge us. And in dealing with a right relationship, you have to understand when Jesus came, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to right a broken relationship. Most of us can understand broken relationship because we have them in our home. But when we face stuff, when we face the stuff in our life, we will not handle what I'm going to call the waiting period during the trials very well. If we don't realize that it really, this whole process, even in this church, is really about our relationship with God and our relationship with those around us. The two great commandments were this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. The second one is just as important: love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, in doing those two, you will fulfill the rest, because they're both really important. So we must begin in right relationship with God to see how this all works together. So in Romans 8, verse 1, in the Message Bible, it says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disorder of mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Hallelujah. Yeah.
We're down at verse 5 now. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored.
Verse 9. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who, this is key, for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself when God lives and breathes in you. And he does, as surely as he did in Jesus. You are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. Verse 12. So, don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing we can do, the best thing to do is to give a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go.
Verse 15. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and child. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. Yeah. we go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Just this spring, I'm just going to comment on the father-child relationship. Just this spring, the Lord ministered such a healing to me. We were at the Benton Conference, and an old faithful minister of God sat with us in the living room, and he read a blessing, a father's blessing over us. And he said he discovered that he had French heritage, and in the French heritage, at New Year's Eve every year, the father would place his hands on his children and grandchildren and pray a blessing over them. And as he read this blessing, and I had read it in his book, but it didn't hit me, but as he read it, I could hear the voice of God and his blessing upon me. I was his child. He was my father. So there was the relationship, and I needed healing in that. I'd always considered myself more of a servant than a daughter. And a servant always, you know, you can perform and you can keep doing, and you just never measure up, and you're never going to get the inheritance that you do when you're a child, and you get the inheritance of your father. And so the Lord really ministered that to me. So when we were reading through this scripture, I thought, that's the most important part. If you don't understand the relationship between God as your father and you are his child, you will be insecure. You won't know that he wants to provide for you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You're still going to be trying to do it on your own. And God says, I'm your father. And if you're going to go through tough stuff, I'm going to be there with you. And when you're going through the good stuff, I'm there with you. So we have that assurance. So that was a big healing in my heart and soul. And so after that word that was spoken over me, every time I found myself in a situation, it was just like a little child. I'd just put my hands up like this. Daddy? Help. Daddy, just like a little kid. And I felt kind of stupid when I did it the first few times. But he came. Every time I called, he came. And I felt secure like I'd never before in my life felt secure. Because I knew Daddy was right there, and he would answer and hear me. So that relationship is so important. That's number one, most important. So verse 22, and when Ron was sharing with me the scripture that he was going to preach today, I said, well, dear, you can't really talk about being pregnant. So I said, I think I better get in on this. And he agreed. All around us, as we observe a pregnant creation, the difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pains. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That's why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Now, I have a picture to show you. Don't laugh. Picture number one, Wilma. Don't know if you can see me there. Maybe turn out the light or something.
The front light, yeah.
Anyway, I'm about 7 months pregnant here. And I'll just give you a little bit of history. When I found out I was pregnant, I didn't want to be. I liked Ron and I. I liked just the two of us. We'd been married 2.5 years. But, you know, I didn't plan this. And I liked being in control. And so I wrestled. I really wasn't too happy. In fact, I didn't even go to the doctor till I was probably 4 months along, because I really didn't want to admit that I was pregnant. And when I sat in his office, he said, did you know you were pregnant? I said, well, I suspected. He said, well, what'd you wait so long for? I didn't tell him why. But I wasn't quite ready for that. And then, but anyway, as time went on, of course, I got bigger and bigger and bigger. By this time, I could hardly stand up, so I had to sit down to paint. My ankles swelled. It was winter time. My first son was born in March. My ankles swelled so big that I couldn't even do up my winter boots. The coat, my winter coat, I couldn't get it around my belly. Couldn't do up the buttons. I put on about 60 pounds of baby and fluid, and they threatened to put me in the hospital. But I said, no, I'll stay at home and I'll rest.
She had problems even standing in church during the song service, and you know, you're supposed to stand right.
I just sat out in the foyer with my feet up on a chair. I didn't even bother coming into church. So I was very uncomfortable. I loved being pregnant besides all that stuff. But it just didn't, you know, happen the way I wanted it to. So then...
Or when you wanted
it. Or when I wanted it to. So I was suffering. I was struggling. And then a little bit of fear enters in because you don't know what to expect. You've never done this before. And, you know, whenever you're going into something new. And I want you, as I talk about being pregnant, I want you to think about what God's Spirit has spoken to you about in your life, and different things that you've faced in your life, because it's the same principle. There's always a fear of the test results, of where am I going to live, what's going to happen to me. You know, there's always things, fears that we face in our lives, and we want to be in control. We want to be able to decide what happens to us, when and where and how, and life doesn't happen that way. There's so many different things that happen to us. And back then, I wasn't secure in Daddy as my father. I thought, I'm going to decide, you know, I'm going to have a regular birth, and I'm going to, you know, be a great mom, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And anyway, the child inside me was growing, and it's like the promise of God when we get his word. And we hold on to it, and we know something's happening, and it can start growing and growing. Now, in those days, nowadays, you have an ultrasound, you can see the baby right there, you know what sex it is, and you know everything all ahead of time. I never wanted to know ahead of time. I wanted to be surprised, but nowadays, our daughter-in-laws, they wanted to know everything beforehand. And that's a little bit of control there, isn't it? And we find out in life there are so many things in our life and our experience we can't control. We don't have control of. And but anyway, photo number two is the happy couple. Now, it's all black. I was wearing a black dress, and you can't see just how big I was, like out here. But Ron thought it was wonderful. I'm thinking, yeah, easy for you to handle. Anyway. So we can't see the whole process of everything's going on, but day by day, God walks with us, and his Spirit is in us, and he speaks to us if we're willing to ask and listen. And the longer we wait, the larger we become, and more joyful expectancy, closer and closer to the delivery date.
Verse 26 goes like this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what it is we're carrying, but he helps us in our weakness. So, for an example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows, yes, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with his own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That is from the NLT. But in the Message Bible, it reads like this. Meanwhile, The moment we are getting tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows us better, far better than we know ourselves, and knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. And that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Praise the Lord.
Now, there was struggle. Photo number 3. Give her a minute there. So I had it all planned out, right? Okay, we're just going to have regular delivery, and I'm going to feel the pain like every other mother did, and I was looking forward to it. Now, every woman in the hospital went, "What? You were looking forward to it?" I said, "Yeah, I really was." Anyway, I get to the hospital, and I had to have an emergency C-section. Baby was totally breached. Couldn't budge him at all. He was so big. And okay, that was like, wow. Okay, that wasn't on my list of things to do. So I had an emergency C-section, and then by the time I was going to nurse him and do that, and then I got a fever. And I had a severe pain where the incision had been and everything. And so because of the fever, then they discovered I better do a test. And I had a blood clot. Well, naive me, good thing, didn't know what a blood clot could do, that could kill you if it went someplace, you know, vital. And so I didn't have fear of that, but here was another thing. So I couldn't nurse my baby anymore. I was 3 weeks in the hospital with him. That was not in my plan. That was not in my plan. I was just going to have a baby and go home with them. Meanwhile, all the grandparents had to come to the hospital, and I was stuck there for 3 weeks. I couldn't go home. And I was devastated. I was just devastated. And every step of the way, in the back of my mind, the Spirit of God was saying, "You are not in control. I'm in control." And you might say, "Well, then why would God kind of make those kind of bad things happen to you?" You know, He wanted to teach me. Yeah, bad things happens to us in our lives. But God had a lesson for me. It's like, "You are not in control, Shannon, but I am. And I want you to trust me." And it was difficult. It was really difficult. And over and over, he would say to me, "I'm in control. I am in control. And you just need to seek me. You need to cry out to me. You need to submit to me." And then he would work. And that was my reward, my little Nathan. 9 pounds, 3 ounces. And there was a whole issue attached with my son. Because of everything I suffered, I unconsciously, over the next couple of years, sort of held that against him. Anybody ever suffer and blame it on somebody? It was unconscious. I didn't realize what was happening, what had happened, because by the time our second son came along, I just kind of turned the first one over to Ron, and I got the baby. Okay, it's like I couldn't split myself that way, you know. When I had a baby, I ignored him. When I had the second baby, I gave this first baby to him, and I ignored him some more. And it was just like I couldn't. I had to blame something, somebody, somewhere. You know, ever done that? It's easy to do. And the Spirit of God spoke to me when Nathan was 2 years old. He said, "I want to heal that. I want to heal your heart." Because I looked at my precious little son and I thought, why am I holding it against him? Why am I so hard on him? You know, different things going on. And the Lord said, because you've always blamed him for all that suffering you went through. I thought, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. Put a brand new love in my heart for my little son. And he did it. He did it just like that. Just like that. Because I asked. So the Spirit of God was so faithful to minister to my heart. That's what he wants healed in us, so that our relationship with him and then with others is healed. And I just thank God so much for that. So that's our son Nathan. And number four, Ron with hair. Gerald, we had lunch with Gerald last week, a couple weeks ago, and he was telling about when he was younger, he had hair and it was very wavy. And I said, well, so he brought me a picture just so I knew he wasn't lying. And I said, well, you're going to see a picture of Ron with hair this morning. Proud daddy. Proud daddy. So then, I think you read this one. We talk about.
Verse 29. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. We don't often see that. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along with the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid base with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. Let's go to photo five. This is my youngest son in the orange. He's with his son. His first child, and this is not planned. He did not show this. This was not something that we had planned just so we could show you a picture. This is actually happening. My son is going to, was it preschool?
Grandson.
Our grandson is going to preschool, and my younger son is praying for him that first day. The Father loves you. He's been thinking about you. You've been in his mind. You are not an afterthought. And his son, the Bible says, Jesus, is interceding for you. Glory to God. We have the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness. Now, he's taking my grandson, he's taking him to preschool. He's got to take him to be there. So it's a little bit of a journey down the road. He's not sending him by himself. Again, this is not planned for this. But when I saw this, I thought, my, that's a wonderful picture of the journey we're going to take in our Heavenly Father. Present, always present, praise God. We wonder why we got to go through this in all of our waiting. We think it's all about us, and really it's all about him. Let's show this little video. Go to the video and we'll... Jesus. He's in the waiting. We don't want to wait, but it's inevitable. Do you know, in order to see the Lord and his purposes, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There are some that I'm just beginning to get to know you. But I'll tell you, you need to have a personal relationship. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can have that relationship repair today. Praise the Lord. We must respond. We must respond to the invitation that he's provided for us. Shannon made mention about the relationship of a father and child. You need to understand when after you come to Jesus and after you begin to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that you come No one can come to the Father except by the Spirit. But you come through Jesus in his finished work on the cross of Calvary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And after that transpires, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And then you find out, it's a journey, it's a process, that you do have a loving Heavenly Father, and you are his child. And the neat thing about all this is his Spirit takes up residence in you, and you are not alone. Whew, that's big. You are not alone. So whether it's waiting, you know, you've waited for a while, you've had the congregational meeting, but this is so pertinent to what happens in our own individual lives. Glory to God. Because you go through stuff. And God's working. And the thing that he has begun, there was never any slightest doubt in my mind that God, who started this great work in you, will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish in the very day that Jesus appears. Glory to God. What will you do with Jesus today? What will you come to understand that this is about your relationship as a child with God the Father, and he is always present with you? Glory to God. Stand with me, please. If you would like prayer, we are here. We can pray with you. There are those that may feel that you must go. We bless you in Jesus' name. But if you would like prayer, we're here for you. You can come to see my wife or I. There is also other believers in this building that are quite capable of ministering and praying for you as well. Okay, you don't have to leave with your burdens and stuff that you're going through, and you don't need to feel, oh man, I'm all alone in this, and you really are not. Okay? The word says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ for all ages, right now and forevermore. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today in this service. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the way you draw us. Thank you for the way that you lead us into all truth. I ask, Lord, that you would bless your people in their going out and their coming in their rising up and their sitting down. I ask, Lord, that you would bless even the works of their hands. We thank you, Lord, for the offering that has been received, and we thank you for each home that it represents. We pray in Jesus' name that you will minister to each need, to each heart, to each family. I ask that you would not only bring healing into their lives and into their families, but, oh God, that you would establish them in your word, and they would know that you are with them always, even unto the end of the age. And as they leave this place, they will, as light and salt in the earth, they will go out and express your love to others that are round about them. I ask, O God, that the word of their mouth would be as a sharp sword that would pierce into the very heart of individuals that they minister to, whether they're family or whether they're friends or just people that they're meeting at the moment. I ask that you would open their eyes, that they will be able to see the need, And that you would open their ears and they would hear of your love to meet the need. And you would soften hearts around about them in the name of Jesus. By the power of your Holy Spirit, they will see you work in the lives of those around them. And for this, we give you honor. For you alone art worthy to be praised. In Jesus' wonderful and powerful, strong name. Amen. Praise God. Take some time to greet those that are around you and to fellowship with those that are around you. And be blessed as you go throughout your week in Jesus' name.